I think everybody should go through an entrepreneurial journey. You know, because it provides invaluable insight into building and growing a brand. Today, consumers are not okay with brands just bombarding them with some advertisement. They want very precisely, you know, they don't mind emails coming in, but they don't like junks today. Today, we are also seeing, you know, consumers are becoming more and more aware about the environmental impacts of products and services, and they are increasingly seeking that the brands at least that they are engaged with align with their values, whether it's in the realm of eco-friendly practices or, you know, social responsibility or ethical sourcing.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to yet another episode of The Growth Genius, powered by Infidigit, the SEO specialists. This is where we bring to you interesting stories of growth in marketing and business. Our today's growth genius is someone who has been a marketer for more than two decades and has experience in various industries, including FMCG, advertising. She has also launched her own D2C brands. And most importantly, she has played an important role in the ethical side of marketing. And that is what is the highlight of today's podcast, where we touch upon the ethical side of marketing in terms of how you build the brand through ethical marketing practices so that you ensure that the brand building per se is strengthened in today's digital age. So without further ado, join me in welcoming Ms. Manimala Hazarika, who has been the CMO of Askai. Hi, Manimala. Welcome to the Growth Genius podcast. We are delighted to have you here, and thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Heartfelt gratitude to the Infidigit team and especially you, Mehul, for having me here as a guest. It's an absolute pleasure and honor to be a part of this, the Growth Genius podcast. And I hope, you know, we do a good session.
Great. Welcome. So let's start. I was very intrigued with your profile and wanted to understand more about your professional journey, because your career has transitioned across various industries. So please tell us something about your journey.
Yes, you are right, Mehul. My professional journey has been almost a dynamic, you know, roller coaster exploration across diverse industries and each offering very unique challenges and opportunities. I've spent over, you know, two decades now crafting and shaping brands. Started my career with Pidilite, spearheading the iconic brand Fevicol. And then, of course, moving to, you know, Bennett Coleman, leading the brand Times of India and NIE. I think this phase of my career, which were very initial, you know, 10 years, it really honed my skills in traditional marketing and also the brand building within the consumer goods and print media sectors. After this, you know, the entrepreneurship bug bit me, and then, you know, I ventured into the startup world, started with my own startup called Mums and Babies, direct-to-consumer brand specializing in maternity and baby care. We run that about 6 years, and, you know, over those six years, Mums and Babies gradually evolved into a health tech platform, which we felt was the need of the hour, you know, discussing when we connected with our consumers and we tried to understand the pain points. We realized that that is something that was missing, and that's how we evolved into a health tech platform, offering comprehensive pregnancy and parenting support services. I think everybody should go through an entrepreneurial journey, you know, because it provides invaluable insight into building and growing a brand. And I was lucky that, you know, I also got the exposure to the world of e-commerce, which was just about starting at that time. After that, you know, we closed our startup during the COVID time. I think we hit a rock bottom, both as a startup as also my personal health suffered a bit during COVID. After that, I joined Askai as a CMO. And in this role, as you know, I have been instrumental in driving impactful branding initiatives for the brand, with a very specific focus, you know, of breaking the mold and the perception of Askai just as a policing body. And we tried to create the perception of Askai as a more an industry insider, you know, and an enabler who's actually wanting to work together with the businesses today to help them, you know, not cross the line, stay within the boundaries and yet do good business instead of calling in strict regulation from the government. I implemented a lot of digital campaigns, and of course, the another big agenda was establishing ASCII as a thought leader in the industry. We were two step ahead of, you know, what was going on. Like, we did work on dark patterns, we did work on influencer marketing, which are, as a regulation, like a regulator body, I think we were much ahead of the times. My whole journey of now, what, 23, 24 years, has been a journey of continuous learning and adaptability, allowing me to apply my skills across various industries. And I think each industry has added layers to my professional toolkit. And I believe that has made me the versatile marketer, as I like to call myself today.
Amazing. And obviously, you know, it gives a lot of insights when you have worked across various industries. You know, talking about consumer insights and, you know, that is something that as a marketer, you know, you always put that first. So based upon your experience, how has consumer needs, how have consumer needs changed over a period of?
Oh, I think tremendously. I think, you know, with the advent of all the technological advancement and the digital, you know, shift today and the cultural shifts that we are noticing, also the changing lifestyles of consumers today, I think the consumer behavior has transformed enormously. And in the earlier part of my career, consumers were more reliant on, you know, the traditional forms of media and information, and brand loyalty were built over a long period of time through a very consistent messaging throughout. And also, I must say that it was a very one-sided messaging from brands to consumers. However, now, you know, with the advent of digital age, I think consumers have become more informed, they are discerning, and they are very empowered today. So the rise of the e-commerce has also transformed the way people shop. So today it's, you know, more about convenience, it's more about personalized experiences. Consumers today are honestly not just buyers. They are stakeholders in brand stories. And I think they expect full authenticity, transparency, and a sense of, you know, purpose from the brands that they engage with. Today we are also seeing, you know, consumers are becoming more and more aware about the environmental impacts of products and services. And they are increasingly seeking that the brands, at least that they are engaged with, align with their values, whether it's in the realm of eco-friendly practices or, you know, social responsibility or ethical sourcing. So, yeah, I mean, you know, also I think today consumers, because of the digital space, also expects a very seamless integration of their, you know, demands and experiences in the form of very personalized recommendation based on data. Today, consumers are not okay with brands just bombarding them with some advertisement. They want very precisely, you know, they don't mind emails coming in, but they don't like junks today. They don't, in fact, email marketing, I think, again, gaining a lot of traction today because brands can do precise marketing based on what the consumer preferences are. So yeah, as a marketer, I would say it is very crucial to understand and adapt to these evolving needs of your consumers so that, you know, you engage with them long term and also provide value to them.
That's very interesting what you talked about, that today's consumer has become a stakeholder of the brand story itself, right? From being just a consumer at the one end of the communication, today the consumer becomes part of the communication.
Yes.
Right? That's very interesting, very nicely put, I would say. And obviously, advertising has also changed, and so much so in the digital age today. So what are your thoughts on the advertising in this digital age, and what are the benefits and pitfalls that you see?
I think digital age has definitely brought about tremendous change in advertising today, reshaping completely the way today brands are connecting with their audiences. And everything comes with benefits and pitfalls. So some of the benefits, the way I see it, is, you know, thanks to digital, thanks to so much of data that we are generating, and thanks to the analytics tools and models that we have today, we are able to really segmentize our customers into much more smaller niche segments. Earlier, it used to be just demography, just few things. Today, it's like, you know, what do you drink when you wake up? What do you, you know, it's like as precise. So, you know, precise targeted advertising has become the norm today. And this helps, you know, brands to really talk to the consumers at the purchase journey that they are in, the stage they are in, you know, somebody who's just exposed to the brand, or somebody who's in the middle of their conversion decision making, or somebody who's almost made their mind to buy, and what to talk to them at that moment. Then, of course, as I said, data driven insights, you know, I think thanks to AI, ML, today we have huge chunk of data which we are churning and we are using. In fact, we are not even using much till now. You know, we are all a little baffled just now about the whole big data, and I think much more can be done, you know. Also, digital has, I think, given the opportunity of much more interactivity and engagement with the consumers. Today, you can do videos, quizzes, polls. So many ways you can keep your consumers engaged with you so that they don't run away here and there. You catch them through various means. And of course, having real-time conversation with consumers. Where was, you know, earlier it was writing to a consumer care mail ID or calling to somebody. Now it's so many social media platforms, you can actually talk to your brands directly. And I think brands are the biggest benefiters from that. You don't have to rely on just some market research data. You yourself are connecting to your target audience, and you can, you know, learn about the sentiments, or the social listening is definitely a big boon of this, you know, digitalization. And some of the pitfalls, I would say, is, you know, ad saturation. Too many ads. So an average consumer today, as they say, is, you know, exposed to almost 10,000 ads a day at different points of time, different platforms. So too much of it. So it's leading to, you know, ad blindness in consumers. So cutting through that noise and capturing the audience's attention has definitely become a big challenge for, you know, marketers. Secondly, of course, we all are talking about, you know, the privacy concerns, increased data which are being collected, and many a times very naively, you know, we all give away our mobile numbers. Last minute, when we are billing, they ask a mobile number, and then because you are already at the counter, you don't even think twice. But then later you realize that, okay, you know, you start receiving promo messages, and probably this data is used in what sense, we don't know. So this is leading to a lot of regulatory, you know, changes. And I think transparency in data practice is a key need based on this. Third is, of course, multiple dark patterns in the web today. And gullible consumers are falling prey to that. Many a times you will see, you know, sneak in basket pieces, you know, you are buying an airline flight, and then, you know, say your meal, your insurance or something, which is just tick. You should be given the option of opting out and not, you know, opting in and not opting out. But because many people will not know that they are being pushed these services. Although, plus today, yeah, you will also see, you know, many a times in the mobile when you're doing something, ads pop up. And there's a cross button, yes, but when you actually hit the cross button, it opens another window, which takes you to a game. So these are all, you know, dark patterns of the web, which are serious issues, and which I think both ASCII and the consumer, you know, protection cell is looking into. Another thing is, I think, you know, too much of dependency on changing algorithm can also cause a brand havoc. A brand who is, you know, too dependent on an Insta or on a LinkedIn or something, and then suddenly the whole algo changes, their messages are not reaching anywhere. So I think it's diversification in multiple channels to mitigate the risk. Short attention span, of course, consumers today do not have attention span, and we all scroll. We are just busy scrolling through reels and, you know, our pages. And last is, I think, creativity fatigue, you know. Even the creative teams today, earlier, we used to see awesome creative. I mean, think. I mean, I have worked with the best in the world. I mean, Piyush Pandey and the OM team.
Absolutely.
And you know how the whole creation process used to be like a long drawn. You brief them, they understand the product, the usage, the reason. And then actually thinking through it, mulling over it, then you come up with a bright idea. Now, you know, they are campaigns barely last 1 week, 2 weeks. And creative, there's no brief system has gone off now. It's like, you know, every other day you have to create something. And, you know, there's very rarely today you come across an ad which is like, oh, wow. Very rare, because I think the creativity is just dying down. So, you know, while digital advertising is, of course, it is essential, but it's also essential for brands to stay very agile, continually adapt strategies and prioritize authenticity to resonate with the discerning, you know, digital consumer. Today, consumers are very aware of what's happening.
True, very true. And yeah, I mean, you put those points in a nice sequence to understand, you know, how the change has happened. And of course, this also reflects on the changing role of the marketer, right? So that is one thing which we would like to understand from you, like, you know, how has the role of marketing per se changed over a period of so many years now? And if you can give us some thoughts on how you converge offline and online marketing in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think the role of marketers has definitely, you know, changed a lot. Today, I don't think marketers can just rely on creating good creativity and, you know, sitting on the laurels of that no more. You know, it is no more about just ATL and BTL. It's about, I don't know, I mean, it's about board. I think it's about everything today. A CMO is equivalent to almost a CEO and a CEO today, because you are actually looking at, you know, brand profitability. You are actually looking at, you know, brand spend. You are actually looking at the ROI, ROAS, everything at every day. And that is a bigger challenge. With, I mean, the number of windows that are open on your laptop is not a joke today, because you are constantly chasing those figures and tweaking, retweaking to arrive at a certain number. So, you know, some of the evolution is, you know, data-driven decision-making today. You are not relying on, we have access to wealth of data, but we also need to understand them to make sense out of them and then, you know, actually create effective campaigns for them. Then it's again, next is, you know, today it's no more about just sending out an email. For the same product, same campaign, you are sending out 30 different versions of email to your precisely segmentized consumers. You are no more just sending out a header bana diya, you know, some content then push out, because it has no value at all. So every email that goes out or every communication that goes out, to the extent today, website landing pages are different for different audiences.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? I mean, we are customizing things to that level today. But it's all, but true. That's what the consumers want today, because the attention span is so much. When they land on your website, if they don't see in the first 15 or 10 seconds what they are looking for, they're out of it. They don't have the time. So you have to grab their attention. Last thing, I think content is playing a big role. Today, it's all about content. You know, everybody's hungry for content. I don't know when they read and where they watch and what they do. But everybody is looking for valuable content from brands. And that is where I really like to say that I've been talking to a couple of brands and I've been telling them that content doesn't mean just pushing your product or service. Content means really solving the customer's problem. Sometimes you don't even talk about your product in that content, because you know you don't want to be just pushing out salesy content all the time. You want to push out very valuable, meaningful content. And of course, a multi-channel engagement today. So you can't just say, you know, we'll add only on TV, or we'll do only digital, or you have to have a, you know, omni-channel, multi-channel, whatever you call it. You know, you need to have be present in your TV, in your outdoor, in your out of home, in your digital, everywhere. As you said, you know, view on online and offline, you know, convergence of marketing. I think integrated campaign, as I said just now, you know, that most successful campaigns just seamlessly integrate online and offline elements. something that you see on TV, and then you quickly scan a code and then you are on the website. So, you know, it has to be just a flow. You have to combine all the mediums to give them one cohesive experience. Today, also in-store experiences are also changing with augmented reality. Today, I think trial rooms may one day just become, you know, redundant, because you're just standing in front of that screen, you're choosing a dress, and then dress is automatically showing how you are going to look in it. So, interactive kiosk, even mobile apps, you know, enhancing store experiences today.
Yes.
These are all sort of bridging the gap between physical and digital. As we write, there's a word today, right? Fidgetal.
Fidgetal.
So it's all about being fidgetal today. Even event amplification, you know, today events are not just about calling people to one place. So we are live streaming. We are in fact doing metaverse events today. I mean, some of the organizations celebrated Diwali and Holis in the metaverse because they have global teams, global employees.
Right.
Cannot, you know. So,
very interesting.
Yes. So they are actually, you know, celebrating it there, building that team spirit in the metaverse. So I think these are, you know, the way online and offline is converging today. And a marketer's role is like one has to keep updating oneself, learning, reading newer skills. I think learning has become the mantra today.
That's true, because you need to stay ahead of the curve, so to say.
Totally.
Because otherwise, we don't know what.
And everything is changing so fast. I mean, just when.
Yeah.
I mean, AR aya tha, VR aya, then now to you said, you know, generative AI is changing the whole game.
Absolutely.
Look at what ChatGPT is doing. Look at what, you know, Midjourney or DALL-E is doing. So, yeah. And you are supposed to know all of them.
Yes. So, yeah, we have influencers also today, and we also have a recent case of, you know, AI generated influencers, because, you know, the real influencers had a lot of ego, so to say. So somebody came up with an AI influencer.
Right.
So what are your insights on the role of influencers in marketing? And if you can touch upon the ethical side of influencer marketing, that would be great.
I think influencer marketing is one of the most, you know, potent marketing tool, I would say, for brand promotion today, if done right. Because many a times we have still not learned. Probably even the influencers are evolving, and even brands or marketers today are still trying to evolve and understand what, you know, influencer marketing is all about, how effectively they can use this influencers for their brand's growth. So influencers are people, of course, you know, with huge reach and followers on the online platforms. So the biggest asset that they provide today is their authenticity, because influencers have the followers because of their organic contents. And hence, you know, these followers are not somebody who have just frivolously following an influencer. They sort of align with that influencer's content or what they are saying, you know, in the digital space. And hence, when they advocate a product, the followers consider it to be very authentic, you know, because they have a genuine connection with it. Plus, they have huge reach. Today, we have, you talked about the virtual influencer. I'm talking about the regional influencer today. Unlike a celebrity who's, you know, very big, and influencers, but, you know, they may have very niche followers, which makes it very effective for brand, you know, connect and brand communication, because you are exactly talking to the niche of people who are interested in that product or that kind of a service. And of course, content creation influencers, I think, I don't know how and where they learn, but I think they are superb in content creation, as something that as a creative team your in-house creative team or an outsourced creative team, we look at everything from a very brand angle, whereas influencers look at everything from a very their follower, from the perspective of their followers, what will benefit their followers. And they, of course, weave in your product and talk about their own values, but their primary focus is always the followers. And hence, you know, very well executed product integration in most of their, you know, reels or whatever content they make. Some of the ethical concern, of course, you rightly said, you know, as I said, transparency is a big thing, because I may follow a big celebrity, but when they are advertising, I already know that this is just done for the brand's image. This is done for the brand's, promotion, and not something. I do not expect the celebrity to use that product. Like, I do not expect an Aishwarya Rai to use a Lux soap. But when the influencer I follow, when they are using it or promoting a product, I sort of believe them. I sort of believe that they have probably used the product. And hence that transparency is very important. And many a time we feel that, okay, they have probably used it themselves and hence promoting. Therefore, ASCII is very strict on, you know, all the hashtags that they need to use. Hashtag advertising or hashtag collaboration or hashtag paid promotion. And at the very start of the post, so that it's not hidden, you know, below a 500 word caption, but at the very beginning, so that your followers are very clear that this is something that you have got been paid for. And I think, you know, we have spoken to many influencers and have tried to tell them that this actually enhances their value. This actually enhances their brand value, their, authenticity towards their followers. These are the things, you know, and also the brands, how, you know, brands need to align with influencers who actually align with their value system. And similarly, influencers also need to, I think, align with, work with brands which are, you know, which they believe in, which is something that their belief system focuses on. And last but not the least is, of course, the influencers in the face of finance and health. They need to be extra careful because, you know, unlike a skin product or a food product, which even if the whatever promotion you've done is not 100% right, does not cause that kind of a damage to the followers. But when it comes to financial or health products that you are endorsing, anything goes wrong, your followers can have a huge setback. That is where we talk about responsible influencing and responsible endorsement. And lastly, I think, you know, brands and influencers should not look at just engaging one time. I feel, you know, that engaging long-term sort of helps both of them. If they can, you know, so that they together become like stakeholders in the brand journey. The influencer is also bought into the story, the value system of the brand, and they work together. I think they will end up producing better content. And
yes, absolutely.
So yeah, influencer marketing here is here to stay. It's just that, and I think it's only evolving. It's just the beginning now. Many things will happen. I think all the platforms are working towards doing a lot in this space. Meta has done a lot of changes. Meta has today made it much more simpler for people to, you know that these are partnerships or these are collaborations or these are paid partnership. So they are also doing their checks.
That's wonderful. That, in fact, helps in terms of the communication and also in terms of increasing the transparency, so to speak.
Yes.
Great. Obviously, coming to the much talked about topic, that is AI. So what is your take on AI in marketing?
I think AI in marketing is revolutionizing marketing. I personally love it enormously. Whatever little I have been using it as of now, because it, as I said, number one is data. That is the actual AI, the way I look at it. And second is, of course, the generative AI, which is helping the whole creative, you know, this thing. So the way I normally use AI is way data and creative. And I have integrated AI into many of our creative workflows now. And this not only saves your time and resource, but also allows for, you know, very swift creation. Because today, I think time is of most essence. And you have to be right. Then, you know, your communication has to go out at the right time with an impactful content. And depending on an agency or a human is difficult on that. So I think AI is something that's going to really generate everything much faster, whether it's just copy visuals or creative elements. It's a very seamless process. Additionally, I find great value in utilizing AI for social listening and sentiment analysis. I think this approach, you know, provides very invaluable insights to your brands, into the reactions that and opinions that are your audiences are actually talking in the digital space. As I said, you know, otherwise you have to rely on a market research, which takes a long process.
Right.
Those are definitely important for a larger thing. But here, you know, every day, every moment you are trying getting to understand what are your audiences seeking. So, you know, you can quickly iterate your message based on these insights. You can fine tune your communication strategy or, you know, so that your communication resonates with your target audience. So, you know, the combination of data-driven process, creative efficiency through AI and the iterative approach facilitated by social listening forms a very powerful trifecta, as I call it, in optimizing our marketing efforts. So yeah, it's exciting times and exciting tools and everything is coming up. Let's see. We are waiting and watching for much more development in this space.
Absolutely. I mean, it is evolving as an enabler for marketers.
Yes.
And that is the positive.
And you know, so many people are scared today that will it take, to some extent, yes, maybe. Maybe, you know, some work has definitely can now be automized. But at the same time, as I said, the volume is growing so much that it is not about the jobs, you know, people losing jobs, but people who are not learning AI may definitely lose jobs. Yeah. But otherwise, I think the volume is...
It provides an opportunity to learn.
Yes. I think organizations should do that today, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of things are changing too fast and they need to make this effort for their teams to really upskill and provide opportunities for them to go and learn these newer tools.
So, yeah, I mean, glad that you brought this up, Manimala, because at InfiDigit, we have this impetus on learning through AI. So, the SEO team... has been given a specific task of creating use cases, on live projects with the clients. And they have also been given budgets for that.
Okay. So I think it's very important.
Content, yeah, absolutely. Because it helps us to learn. It helps us to develop case studies.
Yeah.
And even in marketing for that matter, you know, so the marketing team also, uses AI tools and then they present their use cases in terms of, you know, how it has impacted quality of the output in terms of whatever post that we put or the content that we, generate through AI and put it on our own social media platforms.
Okay.
So we are also learning and evolving through that.
Yeah. I think it's all of us are learning and evolving. It's just that the time gap for learning and evolving has become much shorter today. So I think every day is a new learning and but it's also important. I'm glad that you are putting out these case studies or use cases because so many others can learn from it.
Absolutely. And we pass on the benefit to the client. So in fact, we tell them if you want AI generated content, then there is definitely a positive impact as far as the commercials are concerned. And then they also sometimes opt for AI plus human content. So, there is human intervention just to, clear the, errors of AI.
Right. No, and I always say that AI and HI must always work together because AI cannot be, knowing everything because at the end, at the base of AI, it's human intelligence, right? I mean, everything
Absolutely.
That AI is generating today is because some human, intelligence have put in those data. But so we also, both AI and HI needs to work together to finally.
Yeah, AI and HI is probably, should be the buzzword, so to say now.
Yes.
Because that gives you the idea of the potential of this synergy, rather than fearing it or, living in anxiety, it actually liberates your thinking in terms of how you can use it collaboratively and add more value.
See, and the same topic today, Mehul, you, me or somebody else, if we use a AI tool like the ChatGPT today, for the same issue, same problem, three of us will be generating three different sort of content.
True.
Because it also depends on what is the input.
True.
How are you guiding the ChatGPT?
Right.
That is what ChatGPT will give you. So AI cannot be alienated. You know, it is the human intelligence
that
will actually give you the final quality content out of it.
That's very true, because especially in fields like finance and healthcare, like you mentioned, you know, we cannot depend only on AI. So whatever content that goes out is actually vetted by an expert.
Yeah.
Because you cannot take chances with such important messaging, so to say, because it has a direct impact on the lives of people.
Right.
I mean, you can play around with content on e-commerce, like the shade of the shirt can be something else.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. But healthcare or finance, you can't do that.
Yes.
Talking about D2C and online platforms, and since you have had that experience of creating a brand ground up in the D2C space, obviously marketplaces are something that always form an integral part of the D2C business.
Totally.
So can you give us some insights on that in terms of what is the importance of marketplaces and any challenges that one may face while dealing with marketplaces in the D2C space?
Sure. I think these marketplaces are an absolute necessity, and they play a very pivotal role today in the success of any e-commerce brands. Without them, I don't think it would be easy for anybody to just start up, make a product and sell it, because it's a huge cost. Creating a platform, creating your website, creating is still okay, but getting consumers, getting eyeballs, promoting it is not easy. And then of course the logistics part of it is a huge chain, in the whole supply chain. So they definitely play a big role. And the benefits, as I say, some of them is, of course, as I said, exposure and reach. So these marketplaces provide e-commerce brands with unparalleled exposure to a massive set of audience. Today, stay at home women or women entrepreneurs are very new. They are actually selling their products in like Amazon Canada, Amazon US, Amazon Australia.
Wow.
And these are such big enablers. I don't think they would have any day could have thought of doing something like that. I think these platforms are, because they have high traffic, they promote to the right audience, because they have AI enabled marketing and targeting strategy, and they showcase your product to the right customers that may be interested. Second is they give the consumers trust and credibility. Today, if I open a website by some name and sell some product, there's no credibility to it, right? But if I put the same product on Amazon or a Flipkart or any other, I think there's a certain amount of trust associated with it, which I think other marketplaces need to really work further on maintaining this credibility, because some of these stars which are, or which are the ratings, there have been issues with them. And I think even with ASCII, we have rare cases. So I think it's for the benefit of both the brands, the consumers and the platform. They need to really sort this part out. Otherwise, I think customers feel very confident when they buy from a renowned website. Thirdly, as I said, the logistical support. It's a huge support. I remember when I was doing it and I was very new in it. The whole process of signing up a Blue Dart or a DHL or an Aramex and then, doing everything was so tedious. Then came Amazon, and then they have the, fulfillment by Amazon. So all you have to do is pack your stuff, send it to their godown, warehouse and do nothing. After that, every order you get, it's their headache to deliver. And so, it takes away 60% of your burden of, delivering and reaching the right customer at the right time. And of course, customer acquisition has become simpler, because they have their own set of customers, they have their own set of audiences. So your product is shown to them and it becomes simpler for you. Some of the challenges brands face, of course, number one is commission. Commission fees, some of them charge quite high, depending on how valuable the platform is, what services they are offering. But I guess, they sort of make up for the benefit or the value that they give you. Second, I would say, which I also felt and which I'm hearing a lot, is a limited brand control. You do not have the control of which page you are shown, where you are shown, or where your ads will be placed, or which, you normally do not have the control on it. So that, I think, is even the presentation of your product. Suppose it's a product, I want to show 5 pictures of it, only then the consumer will understand. Or say it's important for me to show a, side view or whatever view. But if their algo or their page design does not allow that, you cannot do that. Third, I would say, is intense competition. Too many brands. You just type baby care or a baby dress, I think there'll be 3,000 products.
Absolutely, yeah.
So unless and until you are showing in the first 2-3 pages, it's useless.
Correct.
I think that is where even the platforms make money, because that is when they charge you for the, promoting your brand or, pushing it up, the sponsored tag. So
yes, they do that.
True. Yes. And last is, of course, dependence on the platform's policies. You have to be dependent on their policies, and they keep changing algorithms. Even the terms of services may change. The policies can impact your visibility or your operation. So all of these, of course, are challenges. Then there's, in sometimes, they also say that it leads to a little brand dilution when your brand is up there everywhere, especially for the premium brands.
Right.
But honestly, I see most of them still there, because I think, the benefits much way, heavier than the pitfalls.
Correct.
So yeah, I think despite the challenges, a strategic approach to utilizing marketplaces, can mitigate all of these negatives. And e-commerce brands, and today D2C brands, they have to and will have to rely on these marketplaces to, at least in the beginning phase of their, or probably forever, actually.
Right. I mean, that's one space that you need to be visible, at least, even if you have your own platform. You have seen brands that, they have their own websites, but they also are visible on marketplaces like Amazon, Flipkart.
Yes. Even a big brand like a Nykaa would be, because
that's a
promotion, right? That's an advertisement almost. And there's a huge chunk of buyers who are not visiting your website, but are visiting Amazon. So once, maybe the first time will buy you off from Amazon, and maybe next time you can convert them to your own website. But you have to be present where the world is present, otherwise you lose out.
That's true.
But today, some of the brands I know are also, promoting their own things a lot, is because they have very niche target audience. So that is the only time probably you can, rely on not being present or being minimally present just for visibility in these platforms, but build your own brand through your own efforts.
True. This is, marketplaces are here to stay, so to say.
Yeah.
Great. Now, coming to the last part of the podcast, we would love to hear any specific growth stories that come on top of your mind, throughout your career. I mean, anything that you would like to share?
There are many, actually, but maybe I would like to talk about one thing that I have learned very early on in my first stint of my, post-MBA with Pidilite, is how to own a category. I think nobody owns a category like Pidilite does. You talk adhesive, only one brand. So similarly, I was spearheading the category stationery, and the challenge was, how do we own this brand of art and craft? I mean, we can keep on launching products, launching variations of products, launching different SKUs of products, but that is still like a very push sales. You still have to, you know, go sell every time, even though you are the leader, because that is the very essence or the character of the product. So how do we own this category overall? And that is when, after I think a lot of brainstorming, we came up with this concept that let us, you know, start something called the Creative Craft, which was a comprehensive initiative which was aimed at fostering creativity and education. So as a part of the key innovation was a development of art and craft books, you know, for grades 1 to 8. And to make it really valuable, we actually created a very, an advisory board, or very, what do I call them? Very renowned or respectable experts from this field. Like the JJ School of Art Dean was a part of it.
Right.
Like say artist Arzan Khambata was a part of it. So, you know, and they actually designed a curriculum which was very age specific, very scientifically proven methods were incorporated. And what this did to our brand was that schools, who were the, of course, the target audience for us, you know, it was a B2B2C product, you know, you have to sell to the school and the school, then the parents. So the books were so valued by the school that we got an automatic entry into a huge number of schools. And I think that was what we dreamt of. And then we also started this whole creative craft contest, international level, which again may helped us, you know, own this whole category of art and craft. I think the impact was extraordinary. And I know, instead of merely being associated with specific product, users began linking Fevicol with art and craft. So yeah, I think this is one of the, and that did, this did wonders to that entire category. This was,
yes,
one,
absolutely.
Yeah, this was one experience early on in my career. I learned, you know, that, and ever since that, I think I really believe in marketing strategies that lead to pull brands rather than just push brand, because there's no end to pushing.
True.
You know, everything that you do is pushing, but I think what you are doing is great today, that, you know, when you provide what the users want to listen to or know about,
yes,
they come
absolutely
to you, and you don't have to keep going to them.
Absolutely. It's very interesting to get such insights, because this is something that you don't get otherwise. You know, it is not out there as of now.
Right.
I mean, the insights are so relevant in terms of the experiences through various brands, through various industries, that,
true,
you know, it adds a lot of layers to, you know, what you're talking about. And it is so relatable, because it is not something which is just published in the books, but it is something which actually has come out into reality. So to
speak. Right.
Wonderful. And lastly, we would like to hear about, you know, any takeaways that you would like to share for budding professionals.
Oh yeah, budding professionals in brand marketing, advertising, I think, as I earlier also said, one of the biggest thing they need to do is embrace continuous learning. The space is, you know, so dynamic that it's changing every second almost. You know, every morning you wake up, you find something new happening in your space. Some very innovative way that some brand has used AI, you
right,
know, and which can definitely benefit you. So keep your eyes and ears open. Be open to learning. Be open to, you know, understanding why a brand uses, you know, a certain tool or a certain technology in a certain way. Basically, stay curious, be open to new ideas, and invest in upskilling. Whether it's mastering, you know, technology, or staying updated on what the industry is doing, or how the consumers are evolving. Because finally, marketing is at the end all about consumers. It is only consumers who matter, nothing else. Secondly, I would say, you know, as I said, you know, network and collaborate. I think nothing can beat that in marketing, because that is the easiest way you learn. You cannot learn and upskill just by reading or, you know, listening or, of course, podcasts, voice casts, all are important. But I think meeting people, talking to them, understanding their,
yes,
stories. Yes. Oh. I think that gives you the maximum learning. That also helps you understand, you know, and helps sort of collaborate with professionals from diverse background, both within and within your industry. Last is, I think, adaptability. You need to, you know, be open to adapt. The only constant in a business today is change. I think everywhere is a change, actually. So be adaptable and be resilient in the face of challenges. Today, I think we are facing a lot of challenges also, as we spoke about job loss due to technology. But this could be all temporary, you know. So focus on your own growth, and I think the road should be easy ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the learnings, Manimala. I think these are some nuggets of wisdom which are applicable to everyone today, you know, not just youngsters. And, you know, as they say, you know, you don't get to learn everything in B-School. You know, some things you have to learn it on your own. And that is what we try to do on our podcast, to, you know, make the learning easy.
Right.
By, you know, getting stalwarts like you to share their experiences.
Thank you.
Which benefits others.
Thank you so much for having me, because, you know, I think, as you rightly said, it is no more just about budding. Honestly, I think learning has become for anybody and everybody. Even after 25 years of work experience, I still feel like I'm a novice, because there are so many new things to learn.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's very rightly put, because, yeah, I mean, things are changing so fast. You need to keep understanding, learning new things. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure
talking to you.
So here we come to the end of yet another episode of The Growth Genius. And as insightful as it can get, we obviously learned a lot about ethical marketing practices and how these can be used for building your brand in the long term in today's digital age, where the consumer attention span is so less. And when you look at marketeers, obviously the role of marketeers is becoming more and more challenging. So to be resilient, what was suggested is, of course, keep learning at all times. And this is where upskilling is going to help you to stay ahead of the curve. I am sure that you will all learn a lot from this podcast, and keep liking, sharing and subscribing to the content that we put on various social media platforms and also audio platforms. The links of all of these are given in the descriptor below. So till the next episode of The Growth Genius, keep learning, keep inspiring. Thank you.